The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris will get you a shovel.
The Florida Panthers vice chairman, Doug Cifu.
Doug Cifu?
C-I-F-U.
I couldn't even tell if that was just like an Ed New York. Yeah, Doug Cifu. You know, he's Cifu.
I didn't eat it.
Yeah. Cifu.
I mean, this guy is, you know, he's the CEO of a publicly traded company, New York-based company. He's a bazillionaire, co-owner of the Panthers. Why get involved with these stupid fans, you know, in a Twitter battle? He gets on X. He's been suspended, by the way. So he's been, you know, forbidden any involvement with the team or the league in response to his inappropriate posts on his social media account. What happens is the Panthers and the Maple Leafs are in a tough playoff series, right? And I've said this. I think the Florida Panthers are just, they're a little too physical. It's beyond hockey now. Now it's like.
Do you know they're favored on the road tonight again? Carolina was favored at Washington.
Yep.
Now Florida's favored over Toronto.
And I just think they're bullying their way through. And Montreal, Toronto came back and was, you know, getting physical with them, but it got really out of hand, I thought, for a while. With, you know, just guys were throwing elbows at each other. Like, it was WWE stuff. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? Anyway, some Toronto fan gets on X and was comparing the hits by the Florida players against the Maple Leafs to the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Just super stuff. Again, let me repeat this. It's a Maple Leafs fan. Some kid probably, well, maybe not. Maybe it's an adult. I don't know. Maybe it's the guy like, hey, mozzarella sticks up high, you know, like that. That guy.
Yay.
So why would you engage with him? So now this is the owner of the team vice chairman, referred to the Toronto fan as a 51st state anti-Semite loser. That's one of his responses. Like, I mean, so, you know, that's the whole Trump wants a 51st state, this Canada, and all that stuff. But like,
yeah, I made that joke while I was up there. It didn't go over well.
I bet not.
Wait until you go down to the Gulf of America.
I sent you that sweatshirt from Florida. That's what they have down there. But he deleted all his posts and stuff, and now he's like forbidden to be in contact with the team or the league and during, you know, a really important time. Why? Why do people with this much power and wealth get involved and just get dragged into a gutter? First of all, they're going to drag you down to their level, and they're going to beat you with their experience because they've been doing it longer. They've been fighting in the sewers forever.
Social media is a cesspool.
It is a cesspool. Why would you get involved in this? Oh, so stupid, mister. God, for a smart man.
Jeremy Connell gets you a shovel.
Yeah, I'm hoping you guys will agree with me. Road workers and the lady in front of me the other day. So at the end of our street here at Clarkview going on Falls Road,
There's
road work, right? To the left?
Always.
Well, there's always road work, but recently it was to the left.
It's always, yes. It was to the left.
So can I ask a serious question?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not start where you stop people from driving, where you hold up the stop sign, beyond the light that's 20 feet away from you? Because what happens is you let the people go one way, they hit the red light. Now the people in Clarkview that are leaving, and the other day we had 6 cars waiting, the lady refuses to pull up to the stop sign in front of me. So what's happening? All the cars are sitting in the middle of the road, and now that line can't go. Do you guys get this? You guys understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Like,
so I'm looking at him going, well, what the hell, guys? Why wouldn't you just move this back 20 feet, turn this effing light off, and then you control who's going?
Yes.
Because most of the time on Clarkview, there's going to be 1 or 2 cars, right? Most of the time. But every once in a while, you got people leaving, and that light takes forever. So,
it does, actually, yes.
And you have people that do stupid stuff. And the
maybe they do these projects without hiring a civil engineer.
I think some of it's just really silly of where you set up and where you don't. And someone should really think this stuff through. And I'm not saying the guys there were idiots or whatever.
No, like, because they're just doing what they're told.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Maybe they're not hiring civil engineers anymore.
Well, then on top of it, the lady that's in front of me, as I said, wouldn't pull up to the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I are the only ones that aren't in the middle of the road. And I'm honking my horn, and she won't pull forward. I'm honking my horn. You've got 4 cars, lady, that are blocking them from going. We can't go until they go. Move your ass forward. Like, I'm laying on this thing. She finally moves up about 8 feet, and then all the cars start, like, the one guy stops. They start driving around it. Then they let us go through. So you see the cones. When they have one side of the road blocked off, that means you have to drive on the other side, right?
Yes.
So as soon as we get over, we get past the little truck, there's like seven more cones. She decides to dip over on the other side. And I'm going, what are you doing? Like, nobody's saying anything. Yeah. And I don't know how she got confused, but people do because there's cones. The same thing when we were on Old Pimlico here. They had all the roads shut down, and then there's people that are coming off the side streets that are turning on. They don't know which cones to go into. So what do you do? Somebody's got to be there to tell them which way to go. Yeah,
that is confusing for people. They do need to direct people.
It's just, again, to me, you're going to cause a problem. There's going to be a goofy accident just because people are stupid, right? They're going to do what they want to do half the time. But if there's nobody to tell somebody not to pull out and go down this lane... Mm-hmm. Then why are you going to be mad at them when they're driving head on right at you? It's just like unreal.
My shovel goes to, we just talked about it last segment, the Cincinnati Bengals. The most idiotic way to put together a football team. You went all offense. Actually, you didn't even go all offense. You went all passing game. You didn't secure anything else. Joe Burrow, I hope he can get rid of the ball quickly. Because wasn't this one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the National Football League over the past, 4 years?
Yes. Yep.
The reason why he continues to go on the IL, or IR, I should say.
Well, what happens when you drop back to pass 50 times?
And I think they really, really need, and also on top of that, you knew Trey Hendrickson didn't want to be there. You could have made this move before the draft and probably got something now, a player to help your team now. Now you're probably going to get rid of him, not have him for the 2025 season. So not only will you not have him, you won't have the advantage of the draft pick that he would have brought. It's just dumb football, a dumb way to structure together a football team. And now he is calling you out in public. So now he's taking the leverage away from you because everybody knows, more so than getting paid, he wants to get another uniform. He wants to be a part of another franchise. He doesn't want to get paid by the Bengals. He wants to leave. Let's go to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Will the Orioles be able to play themselves out of last place in the AL East by the end of May? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well. That's a great question. Would they be able to do it by the end of May? They are in last place. The team in front of them is 3 games in front of them. And it is May 14th. So you got a little bit more than 2 more weeks. It could happen, but 3 games in 2 weeks is tough to make up. You have to get hot, and the team in front of you has to get cold. Both have to happen.
Yeah.
And right now they're playing 500 ball, the Tampa Rays. Orioles are playing 400 baseball. Yeah. No one in the American League East, by the way, is playing better than 500.
So, again,
the
Yankees here, I mean, I know if you saw last night, Aaron Boone got ejected. We also didn't even talk about it. Was it Oswaldo Cabrera that snapped his? When you looked at it, he slid into home and his foot went the wrong way. You knew right away, season's over.
Yeah. Then dude reached back to tag it again.
To make sure he got in.
Yeah.
Presence of mind, which is nice, but his season's over with. And you talked about the other day how well Max Fried's been pitching. Again, he's been on it, but at some point, I mean, he's broken down every year over the past 3 years at some point. We'll see if that happens. But as you're talking about, the Yankees look like the cream of the crop here in this division. Tampa cannot win at home. Boston has had the easiest schedule so far, and they're still scuffling, and their quote-unquote third baseman doesn't want to be there because he doesn't want to play first base or DH. And then on top of it, you figure out what Toronto is.
Yeah.
They've been playing better as of late, but they're not a good team.
Better as of late, they've been playing 500 ball.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you look at them at the beginning of the year, you're going, I don't know what this team is.
Let's go to Bel Air and get John, who wants to shovel. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I want to double down on the Bengals' stupidity here. Give them a shovel. I don't know if you heard this or not, but they've already squabbled with their first and second round picks because they don't want to pay them a roster bonus.
Yeah, I heard that.
So, just another stupid Bengals decision that will ultimately, I don't know, can't somebody step in and get rid of those guys? Maybe we don't want to get rid of them. Maybe we want to just keep them, you know, the way they are, just bad decision after bad decision.
But you're right, John. I mean, it's called a franchise. If I'm the NFL, I want somebody else running my franchise because it's just bad business, man. Thanks a lot for the call, John. Ken Singleton joins us, Oriole Hall of Famer, at 9 o'clock to talk about his experience playing against Pete Rose. Can't wait for that. But on the other side, the O's, 5 reasons not to give up on them. It's an article that's out right now. Very interesting. We'll share it with you up next right here on The Fan.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will Litch wrote a article, Five Reasons Not to Give Up on the Baltimore Orioles This Year. We talked about this a little bit earlier, not so much his article, but this team is way too talented to just say they're done, give up on them. So I agree with him. Why do you think fans have already done it, though, Ed?
Well, because what they see on the field is a very disappointing team this year. Like, I think fans, you know, they, even when they were winning the last two seasons and people got excited, I think people still cautiously optimistic and not totally in, like, not confident it was going to continue. And now that you see this, it's like, aha, I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. It just, and I think they're very, very, I think fans are angry actually right now. It's not even disappointing. I think they're mad.
Reason number one, this isn't who the hitters are. The Orioles ranked 21st in OPS, 24th in runs scored, 26th in on-base percentage. Suffice it to say, when the list of worries about this year's season were listed in spring training, the hitters will be at the bottom third of Major League Baseball wasn't particularly high on that list, Jeremy. So that's reason number one he gives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you kind of understand, you know, a lot of the things he's saying in this article. If you honestly read it and look at it, you're going, okay, this stuff makes sense. Do I think they're going to get back into the playoff picture? I mean, we don't know. They've got to play much better than they have, but the good news is they're getting healthy, and I think that's one of the biggest key things for them right now.
Reason number two, Ed, Holiday appears to be finding his stride. It was probably unreasonable for us to expect Jackson Holiday, the top overall prospect in the sport a year ago, to just show up and start destroying the baseball last year, and it thus shouldn't have been surprising when he struggled. But right now, he looks like he belongs now.
Yeah. He's definitely turned it around. And yeah, you wonder why a guy who was, you know, he was crushing in the minors comes up when he's not even old enough to drink and you expect him to just turn it on. I mean, come on, man. Seriously, it's ridiculous. And now he's, you know, now he looks like he belongs. He's actually turned it around. He's been actually one of the pleasant surprises this season.
I love watching him play. Yeah. Reason number three, Jeremy, the rotation is starting to get healthy. The most encouraging thing about the Orioles 7-2 win over the Angels Sunday was not the win itself. It was the performance of Zach Eflin, who made his first start in more than a month after going down with a strained right lat. He threw 83 pitches, gave up two runs in the first inning, and then shut him down after that.
Yeah, I think he threw more than he was supposed to. He stayed in that game. And that's kind of who Eflin is, right? There's nothing really sexy or overpowering about what he does. He's just so efficient, man. He goes out, and to give up two runs early when you're coming back for your first rehab start, you could have easily just melted down after that.
He just bared down.
So I think that's another good sign when you start looking at the rotation getting healthy. And again, some of the key things are like, when's Bradish coming back? Yeah. Do we see Grayson? And I think, I don't want to jump the gun, but if the next one is talking about having a GM under fire almost, I think maybe that's the last one. But it's kind of like a thing where you're looking at Mike Elias now saying, okay, they struggled in the beginning of the season. They want to make this thing right. Do they make a big splash sooner than later?
Reason number four, Ed, no one in the division or AL wildcard race is pulling away.
I totally agree with that. We've been talking about that all season. I don't think anybody in the division is that good. I mean, granted, the Orioles are the bottom, but I'm not overwhelmed by anybody in this division. I mean, I look at the National League. Yeah, those teams look good. Tigers look good, actually, in the American League, but not in the American League East. So I agree with that statement.
And reason number five, you alluded to this, Jeremy, the front office and ownership are feeling some real pressure, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I talked about it. How do you guys feel about that? Like, I mean, I think there's pressure from the fan base. I don't know if there's pressure from the ownership, because if I was the owner of this team, I'd look at it and go, yeah, I don't like some of the things that happened. There were some moves that you made that didn't work out. But the sole reason, or the main reason why things have gone awry, is all the injuries and then the poor hitting all at the same time, which, again, if you read what he's writing about it, you'd go into it and say, yeah, it's not normal that all these things happen at the same time. Math and history will tell you that their numbers have to come up. Not all of them, but a good portion of them have to come up. And they should be hitting better with runners in scoring position.
Let's go to AJ in Baltimore. What's up, AJ?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good show as usual.
Thanks, thank you.
Man. Thanks, man.
I had a quick question. Now, some of the games I observed, do y'all think the same? Did the Orioles look like they defeated when they playing sometime? Do they already look like they defeated, even when they have the lead?
No, and I'm going to give you an example. Jeremy brought it up. That, I think the absolute opposite. On Sunday, they went up 1-0 in the first inning. Zach Eflin, who hadn't pitched in a month, gives up 2 runs instantly. They shut him down to come back and win 7-3. That's not a defeated team. Do they look ineffective at times? Yes. But the one team is the one thing. Give me an example of looking defeated, AJ, because I wanted to find your looking defeated. What is looking defeated?
It wasn't that 7-3 game, but one of those games in the Twin Series, just looking inside the dugout. They didn't look like they didn't look upbeat. They didn't like they was even there to play.
I don't see that. There are two more hosts on this show maybe disagree with me, but I don't see a team that looks defeated.
I don't know if they look defeated, but I do agree with them. I've seen them sometimes when they do shoot to the dugout at some of these losses. They just look like WTF, man. Like just beaten. It's just in their faces. I've seen it.
I would look WTF, too, yeah. If my record was 15-24.
Yeah.
I'm more like, well, yeah. I think defeated and wondering what's going on are two different things, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you could look at any given moment throughout a 162-game season and look in the dugout and see some sour or sad faces and go, oh, they look like they don't want
to
be here.
He points to the Twin Series, I think, right? I think he's right, because what happened, I noticed it with the television coverage, because it was so lopsided. The Twins were doing everything right. Every ball dropped right for them. And they'd go to their dugout, and they're like, yay, high-fiving each other and smiling and back-slapping. Then they go to the Orioles dugout, and they're just leaning on the railing like, ugh. That's what I saw, too. I'm assuming that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but I also think
it's a natural human reaction. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You
know?
And that's why I said that's not defeated to me. What am I supposed to pull out the homer holes to get the team pumped up when I'm not hitting homers?
You know, the teams that look defeated is when they do stupid stuff in the field that you're not expecting. There's one out, they catch the fly ball, they throw the ball into the stands, or they don't throw it in.
Yes.
Or they start walking off the field, or, you know, like you're watching a guy at third base and he's not paying attention, or an outfielder that's, you know, running back and the sun's in his eyes and he's got his sunglasses on his head. You're going, what are you doing?
Or the outfielder misplays the ball and you see the pitcher react to it by throwing his arms up. Yeah. That's defeated to me.
Or missing the cutoff guy and throwing it a country mile so it goes over the third baseline and
Tyler O'Neill? Yeah.
The uncharacteristic things to me is what makes
strong
you defeated. He better because he can't. Seth in Baltimore. What's up, Seth?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you?
Great. I'm well, brother. Thanks for asking, man. Great show. Rob, I got to tell you, you inspired me, man. I went on eBay and bought one of those jerseys, man. I could not do it.
Which one?
What jersey?
I didn't get the City Connect with the Brooks on it.
Okay.
But I got a game-worn Hicks jersey with the Frank Robinson on it.
Nice.
Yeah, I couldn't resist, Rob. You set the tone, brother.
Those are sharp.
Dude, I think this article is great. But the thing that I think the fan base is really worried about is two things. For almost 20 years, we were that team that everybody would beat up on, right? Like the Red Sox, the Yankees, those guys would beat us 15 times a year. And we were that team that you could play the Orioles and get your game together and get hot. And we're doing that again. We're like losing to teams that are hitting 190, guys that are one for 30 hit their first homer off of Soto or like stuff like that. It's kind of old school Orioles. Right. Like, man, are we just these guys that are just going to get kicked on all the time?
Are we the slump buster?
Yeah, it's like it really hurts as a fan, right? When you see like, you know, Gunnar, who's supposed to be like a $500 million player. But then the other thing I think that's really, really bothering fans is Adley going to get over it, or is he just another Wieters, right? A guy who just never quite gets to where we thought he would be, even though, you know, to be fair to Matt Wieters, people said he was going to be Johnny Bench.
I was just going to say that. It's kind of like, yeah, I think his ceiling was so hard to reach.
Matt Wieters, what, multiple gold gloves, multiple all-star appearances?
Phenomenal player, yeah. But they labeled him Jesus in cleats,
and
he wasn't walking on water, guys.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning
Mauer
Show
with
on the
power.
Fan. That's what it was.
Yeah, Mauer with power.
Ken Singleton joins us. Talk about his experience playing against Pete Rose, but on the other side, we'll get into it. Do you agree with the decision to remove Pete Rose from the permanent ban list? I guess it wasn't permanent. Does he deserve to go to the Hall of Fame? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:34 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Guys, you Pete Rose, all-time hits leader by a lot. Not even really
like
that close.
400 and some hits, I think.
That's like almost what, 3 to 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Are you, now this was a permanent ban, and I guess it's not permanent because he's lifted from that permanent ban. Are you in agreement with that?
I am. I've said this, and I understand that gray area gets opened up, but it's not right the way it is. Like, there's cheaters in there already. There are people that we know who did horrific things off the field. They're just bad people in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can look at a few of those guys and go, that guy's racist. He's a woman beater. You look around. He cheated in the game. That guy had Emery boards. You know, you're going back and forth, and you're going, okay, I get it. The guy's a bad guy, but he was a great baseball player. Mm-hmm. At some point, put him in the Hall of Fame and stop acting like all of a sudden he goes in the Hall of Fame and everybody forgets what he did. It's not what's going to happen.
Look, it's in every profession. I don't get it. I don't know where, and I don't know why they're so sanctimonious. Because it just seems like here, more than any other sport, this is what they talk about. Look, it first of all, it was stupid. I mean, you look at the people that have been reinstated, taken off the permanent ban list. The guys on that Black Sox team, some of them did throw the World Series. A couple of guys batted 375. They just didn't rat out their teammates, and they were banned for life from baseball. And now that they're all dead, and those guys are dead three times over, like... So there's no danger to the game. Oh, get over yourself.
You guys know who played Shoeless Joe Jackson, 8 Men Out? It was D.B. Sweeney.
I figured it out.
That was John Cusack.
If I did it now, the people that listened earlier aren't here, maybe. And then the new people are like, oh, you knew who that guy was. My dumb ass was saying it was John
Cusack.
That's
stupid. Earlier. I mean, Pete Rose has to be in the Hall of Fame. Let's stop it. You know, it's every... O.J. Simpson, he killed two people.
Well, he was in the Hall of Fame before that happened. I think
Jim Brown threw his girlfriend off a balcony.
I think to
it's only two stories.
I think to Jeremy's point earlier, why is Darren Sharper not in the Hall of Fame when he put up Hall of Fame numbers?
The human element things comes in. Before. Yeah, and again, there's guys now that we would look at Rob in baseball and football and go, yeah, he's not a good guy. He shouldn't be in there. How many different allegations have come out about certain people? Even in the NBA is interesting because it's a basketball Hall of Fame, and then you go, yeah, I'm putting him in because of his college stats. Yeah, I'm putting him in because of what he did overseas.
I never saw the Naismith though.
Like, yeah, it's just basketball. Yeah. So anything related to basketball can go in there.
Football is pro football. It's not NFL.
But it doesn't include college. Basketball Hall of Fame.
But it's because it's pro football. I mean, like people ask, well, why is Warren Moon in the Hall of Fame? Well, it's pro football, so what he did in both leagues count.
But basketball, it could be college. It could be women's basketball. Yeah. It's everything. Overseas. They have guys that you've never heard of that played overseas their whole career that are in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like,
and they should be.
Yeah. Because again, it's just the basketball Hall of Fame.
I think like basketball more than any sport, Jeremy gets it right in terms of incorporating everybody.
Yeah.
They don't wave you off because you didn't play in the NBA.
Like, let's say you made the worst trade in NBA history and they go, you know what? We're going to give you the first pick. They get it right, man. Hey, you guys have the lowest chance ever of getting a pick in the history of this sport. Or I'm going to give it to you. You know why? Because you deserve it.
You know, it's funny you say that because I believe this whole thing is fixed. But I'm really angry. And I don't have a problem with them giving it. First, I think the worst team should get the first pick. I don't like the lottery system anyway. I don't care if you thought they tanked, didn't tank, whatever. They're the worst team in the league. Give them the first pick.
So why do you take it all the way down to like 13 teams? Why wouldn't it be, if you're going to do that, or is it 14?
I think it's 14.
Why would you do that? Why not just pick the top 7 or whatever?
Something like that. Maybe. Yeah. Like, and then to make the, you know, the GM of the Mavericks, now it's like, oh,
you didn't tell us that.
Yeah. Oh, look now. Oh, please.
You get Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, AD, always damaged.
But again, yeah. I mean.
And Doug Christie's kid, Max.
If it was a wink and a nod, then. He was following orders. If it was a wink and a nod. You know what I mean? You don't have to like it. If we're saying it was fixed, then we're saying the fix happened before. So he was following orders.
Well, I don't believe that. I
think when did the fix start? When did the fix start?
I think after the trade.
You think the fix had... I don't know. I think if there's a fix, it started before. That's the reason he went to L.A. Because you don't make a dumb trade like that unless... That's part of the fix.
Don't they have a history of like losing stars and the next year that team gets the number one pick?
What? The
In the NBA.
For losing a star?
Yeah.
That's what the history has happened.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, LeBron goes to Miami and then they get the number one pick, the Cavs.
So why would it be different with Dallas?
No, because LeBron decided to go to Miami. That wasn't a trade. He was a free agent. He decided to go to Miami because he and two other superstars got together that before that offseason prior to that and made that decision. I think if we're saying this is a fix.
I think it happened before the trade.
It happened before the trade. Yeah, exactly. I don't think this happened. The trade was part of the fix.
I mean, unless that guy got beat up so much that Adam Silver just sitting there going, damn, man. That's a make-a-wish GM. What would you like? I'd like the first pick overall. You know what, Nico? Here you go.
So you got to explain this to me. You trade one of the best players in the game, who's a proven commodity, with the promise of getting maybe a generational player, but you don't know because he's a college player. And you do this?
But at 17, he busted a lot of NBA players' asses that are going in the Hall of
Fame.
No,
I get it, but
Well, so this is what we talked about yesterday, just to go back to this. And by the way, Joe said that Pete Rose is the one that fixed it.
Just for some way to connect to what the hell we were supposed to be talking about.
Well, I mean, look, this all kind of ties in when you talk about fixing games and what people are doing and all that. But, like, Rob asked me yesterday, he's like, "Why? What about Giannis going to Dallas if you trade the number one overall pick?" And I said to him, I said, you're trading a 20-year-old generational talent for a 30-year-old generational talent. And if we've looked at the history of trading for vets, whether you want to go KD, James Harden, Paul George, who else do we got in there? Russell Westbrook's been all over the place. There's one that I'm missing that's pretty big. But when you trade those vets and what's happened, it just hasn't worked out for any of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them since Golden State got KD.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken Singleton, Oriole Hall of Famer, joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we want to hear from you because, to me, this is the news of the day. You've got baseball's all-time hit leader, who's finally taken off the permanently banned list. Eligible for the Hall of Fame. For those of you that don't know, you cannot vote on him for the Hall of Fame and the other 15 that were lifted yesterday until 2027, because that committee does not vote until 2027. So you're talking about being inducted not before 2028. So are you in favor of Pete Rose now going to Cooperstown? 410-583-1057, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Frank Robinson, with whom I had a tremendous relationship, screamed at me and said, "I cannot believe that you said you would vote for Pete Rose for the Hall of Fame. He violated the number one rule in baseball. He bet on the game. And if he ever gets in the Hall of Fame, I will never go back to the Hall of Fame for any reason if I'm in the same club as Pete Rose."
Don't worry about that now.
That was Tim Kurkjian from yesterday. And that's... people compare it to all the other things in baseball, but when you talk to the baseball guys, nothing compares to gambling to them. Nothing.
It's so weird to me, man.
It is, but it's their culture. Nothing compares to gambling. I think when Pete Rose's name comes up for the Baseball Hall of Fame election, I think you'll have a lot of people who vote who think about that, and he won't get the vote. Because, again, I think it's genius what Rob Manfred has done. He's announced it now, giving you 2 years to think about it, which means that may turn some people.
Yeah, I understand it from the standpoint of, like, if you're going to look at going back to the Black Sox scandal, it'd be the biggest black eye for sports. I mean, what? Like, when you're sitting here talking about fixing a World Series, and I know baseball wasn't as big as it is today and everything we have, but, like, that's insane to think you could do that. So understanding
back then,
yeah, those guys were gambling.
Big, yeah, it was baseball and horse racing back then.
Yeah,
and boxing.
Yeah, like you would think about like how, even though those sports were big, like there's so many more people today. There's social media. There's people watching, going to the games, everything. You have more fans, but it had to be a huge black eye. So I understand why a lot of guys go, it's the number one rule in sports. But I mean, come on, guys. Like gambling's an addiction, just like anything else. If you want to talk about it, then take all the alcoholics out. Take all the drug addicts. Take all the cheaters and the race. Take all those people out. All the bad people.
Think about this for a second, Jeremy. We're so far removed from the 1919 scandal. We're more than 100 years removed. Pete Rose happened in the mid-80s. I think like 1986, you start finding out, hearing whispers of it. They were fewer than 70 years removed from that scandal. Look at Frank Robinson. He wasn't that far removed from this. So for them, it almost ruined their game. So here we are over 100 years away from removed from that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really impact us anymore. Gambling is accepted in the sport. So for us to treat it like, it's just another vice. To them, it wasn't, because that was the vice that almost killed their sport.
Rob, I could go smoke weed and bet on the game at the game. Right. You know, like it's funny when you look at the way things are now. But again, like, my big issue is when you start talking about some of these other guys and say, okay, they did this, they did that, whatever. You've got this gray area of all the things that are happening. And with a guy like Pete Rose, there's no doubt when you watched him play that he should be a Hall of Famer. The other thing is, the guy paid his penalty. He doesn't even get to enjoy this. He's dead. He's dead. Like, he doesn't get to have the celebration of him going in. He died knowing he was never a Hall of Famer because he did something stupid.
And I'm telling you, there are going to be a lot of people on that in that voting who are voting. They'll say, nope, Don Cage dead.
I know.
He's not going in.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dante in Baltimore. What's up, Dante?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing, man?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I just think, like y'all said, man, them writers, they miserable, man. Like, the guy was a genius at his craft. You know what I mean? And I just go back to one day he was describing how when he was in the batter's box talking to A-Rod, I was just so fascinated just hearing how genius he was playing the game, talking about Pete Rose. I really think, like you said, man, you know, statute of limitation, like, has been exhausted. Like, get a man a shot. Let him go ahead and go to the Hall of Fame while he's in the afterlife. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, bro, I just think that they need to lighten up a little bit.
Again, it was said lighten up because of where we are in society right now. You got to understand, when it happened, it was illegal. You couldn't do this. By the way, this, he's going in, it's going to be written, voted by writers, execs, and members of the Hall of Fame. So it's not like everybody else going in. This is under a different umbrella.
Right. I think one of the other smart things that Manfred did was by including the Black Sox and an owner. And there's a bunch of people going who are off the list now. If he just did Pete Rose, there'd be a different view of this. But now, because a lot of these guys got screwed.
But Shoeless Joe Jackson got screwed worse 100%. Than anybody else.
He had a 356 lifetime batting average, fourth highest in baseball history.
And he did it without even wearing shoes.
Yes.
Like, the guy
in that series, he had 375, he had 12 hits, and the one home run for the White Sox.
Okay. All right. As former police officers.
Mm-hmm. All of us?
No, not you. Oh. Well, you were on the other side. Something goes down. A crime occurs.
Right.
And people are sitting around watching it. They knew it was going down. Mm-hmm. And they did nothing about it. Mm-hmm. They go to jail as what?
Accomplices or what?
Witnesses.
Yeah. No, they didn't tell you. They saw it happen. Yeah. They knew it was going down. Right. They said nothing. They were part of the guilty by association. If you get stopped in the car, there's drugs in the car, you know it's in there, but it's not mine.
Oh, that's different. Yeah. I just remember people witnessing a crime in the street.
So Shoeless Joe knew it was going on, mm-hmm. and he participated in it.
Did he know?
He didn't participate.
It's always portrayed as he knew.
He didn't take any money.
He didn't. He hit 375 in that series.
But he knew what was going on. He knew, yes. I mean, to me, that's a guilt by association.
Or did he not rat out his teammates?
He didn't rat out his teammates, what he didn't do.
If I'm in that car and I know it's here, and I know it's here, mm-hmm. I'm not getting a slap on the wrist because nobody's telling me to go home because I didn't rat out my friends.
You think snitches didn't get stitches in the early 1900s?
Evidently, he did. we're acting like, well, he batted 400 almost. Yeah, but he knew about it. He knew what was going on. And I think what we're missing is the Black Sox scandal almost ruined the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. Wiped it off the face of the map. Right, wiped it off the map. But we're acting like, because now we're in a society where gambling is okay.
It wasn't D.B. Sweeney's fault. But don't you look back on this now, Rob, and go, like, how many people are in jail because of weed? And you're going, let his ass out. Why did, like, I understand when he did it, but it's legal now. You got to be sitting inside going, this is some
not legal federally, though. That's how they get around it.
I got you. But
now, like, you, I'm not the guy to ask that. If it's illegal when you did it, it's illegal.
No, I'm not saying.
So I'm not the guy to ask that.
But if it's legal now, then why?
Don't matter to me.
Why don't you change it? Why don't you let the guy out?
I'm not that guy.
I mean, it's more of a.
You did it when it wasn't, so we're going to move on with that.
Well, they changed the crack laws, though. They did that, and guys got out.
I know that, but I'm just saying, I'm not that guy. Yeah. I don't. What was it when you did it? It was illegal.
You don't know.
I'm not, so let's
open it. You want to smoke crack? Jump! Be expurgated. Well,
that was so obviously racist.
Oh, it was. Absolutely, it was. Now, that's a different argument. Yeah. You know,
thanks, crack Joe
is,
Biden.
Yeah, exactly. Crack is different from cocaine.
If you don't vote for me, you're not black.
But yet, he is.
He wrote the crime bill.
He wrote the crime bill.
Don't crap my pants.
Don't. That's a different. Why you do that? Why you do that? So at the end of the segment, why you do that?
What was the thing I sent you the other day? It was like, fish, eat for, teach when you can. Some, yes. Joe Biden.
Like, Ken Singleton joins us up next on The Fan.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.